This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Gary St. Clair, welcome to the Stick Up.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me, man. Much appreciated, you know.
Your fight name, Superman, where did that come from?
Superman. So Superman come from Brooklyn, New York. Because I used to train in Brooklyn, New York, a gym called the Glisten Gym. And old that, train.
That's the legendary gym,
Of course, man. It's all the great fighters come to the Zab Judo, Mike Tyson. Everybody passed through that gym, you know.
Yeah.
So I was in the gym one day training. Boxing with a Mexican fighter, boxing with a girl, and my coach is, man, how come you don't get so tired, man? I said, man, I'm just, that's how I was born, and I said, man, you know what? I'm gonna give you that name. I'm gonna call you Superman. That's how the name started.
Tell me, let's go back to your childhood. I like to go back to your childhood. Where did you grow up? Like, what your?
My childhood, man, is I grew up in a country called Georgetown, Guyana. You know, one of nine kids.
Where was your place in that?
I was the third to last kid.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you know, so the fight didn't start from home, you know, and the reason why the fight started from home because it wasn't enough to go around food.
So you were just fighting for your life.
Of course, man. Yeah, man. I was fighting for my life, for food, everything, you know. Growing up in my childhood in Georgetown, Guyana, man, was one of those... it's one of those things I won't wish on no one else, but you know, it make me the person I am today because growing up there back home, you know, love my mom and dad, you know, but just they just didn't have it.
Yeah.
This is just a way of life, you know what I mean? Yeah. Didn't have it. But I always thought that was every kid goes through the same thing that I went through.
Yeah, you normalized it.
I normalized it, you know what I mean? Because, man. And I can remember my first fight in the ghetto there, man. You know what I mean? They had a guy, had a baker shop. And he used to put the young kids outside to fight for bread.
Yeah. You're fighting for bread.
Well, of course, man. Yeah. A bag, it's called a tennis roll in my country. It's like rolls, but we call it tennis roll in my country. A bag of tennis roll of 10, man. I was hot. Man, ain't no way, man, I was going to lose the fight, man. And I win. You know, take home 10 tennis rolls to my mom and show them I won 10 tennis. Man, that was...
It's like a world title belt.
Oh, man. Yeah. That was awesome, man. Because at least, you know, we could eat that day, you know, man. It was just rough growing up, man. We had nothing, you know,
And where did the boxing sort of come into it, like...
boxing get into it. So... After growing up with my parents and things, my mom, you know, my dad went to prison, mom, family break up, you know, mom, we have nowhere to live. Then I went by my grandparents, you know, and my grandma had, she had some flower plants, and every day I used to just go outside and hit the plants and hit the flower plants, coughing the plants, you know what I mean? And then one day I watched boxing on television. You know, man.
The first fight
I ever watched in my whole life was a man by the name of Daniel Curry. He was welterweight champion. They used to call him the Hawk.
Mm.
Oh, man, it was a hell of a fighter, man. Mm. And since then, started boxing, man.
Yeah.
Love it.
Was there in your country where there's a big boxing culture?
Massive boxing culture, but, you know, all the kids are boxers from the ghetto.
Yeah. that's where the best boxers.
It's a grassroots sport, you know. All the rest of the kids, you know, play soccer and thing. But, you know, boxing is all the ghetto kids boxing.
Was your country a cricketing country?
Cricket, man. West Indies, man. West Indian all the way,
man. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They're like Clive Lloyd.
Viv Richards, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Joel Garner.
Chanjipal from my country, yeah. San Juan. It was born in Guyana. You know? Because the West Indies made up of all the Caribbean countries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So were your heroes cricketers, or who were your heroes?
Nah,
who were your sporting heroes?
My sporting heroes was was, like I said, the first fight I was with Mike Aldona Curry, and I always wanted to do that, you know what I mean? But
how old were you then when you seen?
9 years old, man. Nine years old, but in the ring, man.
What sort of drew your attention? What did you admire in Donald Curry?
What did I admire in Donald Curry? Man, the way he moved, man, and the power he had. But unfortunately, I never had that. But he had the power, man. I like the way he moved, you know. And I said, man, I love this. And this is what I could do, you know what I mean?
You always known. Everyone said that you brought speed to Australia. You know, people say that your hand speed was just next level.
Yeah, the hand speed and the movements, and you know, I get all that hand speed and the movements and all that. A lot of people don't believe when I tell them. So listen, boxing in America, it wasn't taught to me. Boxing in America, I boxed with everyone in America. I boxed with Mexican, Puerto Rican. I boxed with everyone. I was just sparring part of America, sparred every single one. Boxed with the greatest, Arturo Gatti.
Did you spar Arturo Gatti,
man, his best palm beat Springer. Don't forget that, man. That's the first time I met David Tua, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, been all over, man.
Tell me, what was your transition from your home country? How did you end up in America?
How did I end up in America? Let me tell you the story. So growing up in Guyana, you know, I always knew that in order to become world champion, you had to go to America.
Yeah.
But the only problem is that I have no idea how I was going to go to America. Mm. I had no family in America. I had no cousin, no brother. Nobody's going to send for me. Nobody's going to help me, nothing. And you know what? And the worst thing of it, man, I couldn't read and write, man. I was illiterate and couldn't read and write, but I was a good fighter. But you know what, man? I didn't know I wanted to go to America. So what I did, back then, if you go to America, you got to go to the embassy and get a visa. A lot of people in Australia don't know what's a visa, but anyway, you had to go get a visa. And to get the visa, it was $20 American to get the visa. $20 American back then was $3,000. Guyana dollars, that's a lot of money, man. I said, work, hustle, pick up buckles, save, do this, make that 20, for buy that 20 US to go in the embassy to try to get a visa, man. I couldn't fill the forms up, so I get people to help me out, do that. I went to the embassy, but six times, man, every time, deny. And one day, that's it, you never give up, one day. They said they give me a 3-month visa. And for me, getting a 3-month visitor's visa to America changed my life, because after that, went to America, you know, hustle thing, work, you know what I mean? You're not supposed to visit a visa, but you know, poor kid from the ghetto, hustle, work. I get a fight live on ESPN. Not ESPN, USA Tuesday night fight. You saw the USA Tuesday night fight. Yeah. A full round live. The whole world watching me. But the guy I was fighting for my country too, but in America, knocked him out and everything changed.
It's an amazing transition. So you land in there. Did you know where you were going to go to Gleason's? Did you have that set in your mind? How did you get, Gleason's is, anyone who's not a boxing aficionado will understand, it's one of the most well-known gyms in the world, produce some amazing fighters. How did a kid from nothing end up in one of these, like, how does that happen? You just knock on the door and say, hey, I'm here, or?
no, you because in my country there's a lot of guys from my country, Guyanese, we call them Guyanese fighters from my country, went to America and they always end up in the Gleason gym as trainers and all that, you know what I mean? So it was good for me. So I only
had a
boxing,
connection there.
I had a connection. The only boxing gym I know is the Gleason gym. Because all the Guyanese trained. So I went there and opened the door and see, and I met the owner, a man by the name of Bruce Everglade, wonderful man.
Yeah.
That man helped me, because it's $47 a month for pay the gym fees, and $47 a month. It's a lot of money. And that man helped me out. So I could train there for free until I get myself, you know what I mean? And that's it.
It's a beautiful spirit, that one. You know, and so you start there, you know what I mean? Obviously, man, I was looking at your record. You fought Corrales, you know.
Chico Corrales, Sacramento, California.
Yeah, well, and But before that, you represented your country in the Commonwealth Games, is that correct?
Yeah, I represent my country in the Commonwealth Games. I fought a guy by the name of Robbie Peden from Australia, man. The Bomber. Friend of mine. What's up, The Bomber?
Yeah.
You listening? Yeah, The Bomber's a good man.
But he was another guy that done the hard yards. He went to America too, didn't he?
Oh, man, he went the hard way, man. I thought Bomber should have stayed in Australia because Australia is easier to become world champion, to get a rankings and all that. But he did it the hard way. Went to America, you know?
Yeah, he done it. I'll have a fighter that'll do that. That was just backing himself. He had some good fights too, didn't he? But that's another story. So tell us, okay, after the Commonwealth Games, when did you turn pro? When did you decide to turn pro?
After the Commonwealth Games, I went back home, still represented my country a couple of times, you know, went to a couple of Caribbean games, win gold medal and stuff. But, you know, after my, had an uncle back in my country by the name of Godfrey Watson, you know, and he's the man that helped me a lot of stuff. And one day he said, man, listen, you got to leave. Mm. Just kick me out. A young kid, you know what I mean? Take everything back from me. I know that's the only way to make some money and thing, you know. So
he sort of pushed you out the nest, so to speak.
Pushed me out the nest, man, you know what I mean? Yeah. But not pushing out the nest alone, but pushing out, you had nowhere to go. I slept on the streets, slept in the market, hustle, you know what I mean? And
that's that. But Gary, do you believe that's the sort of foundation that set you up for what you were? Do you think that was sort of the stuff that give you, I don't know, the foundations for, because you've overcome some adversity to get out of there, didn't you?
Yeah, man. It was, you know, it's one of those things that just had to do, man. I had no other choice. Is either do that or just die.
What do you say to this young generation today?
Australia, man.
What do you say to this young generation that think they got it tough?
Man, they ain't got nothing tough, man. They got everything. In Australia, you don't have nothing. The government give you something. Somebody else. In my country, you have nothing. It's two things. It's either you prepare to go and get it, any needs necessary, or die. That's the reality of it.
That's real. That's real hustle.
That's reality,
but that's real. I look at that. That's the real hustle when you got no choice.
No choice, man.
In here, the young ones have got a lot of choices, and they think they've got it tough. I'm not bad. Like, I understand people have got different things, different traumas, and that sort of stuff. People say, I heard Joe Rogan saying it the other day that, you know, sometimes the problems we have are luxuries. Sometimes like what we have, like here in Australia, there are luxuries because in comparison to what you went through, like a kid says, I had a tough upbringing or, you know, whatever. You didn't have that. You had to get in. You just, man, it's an amazing feat. So, yeah, let's fast forward. You're in Gleason's, you're starting to, what was your first, the first fight was on ESPN?
First fight was live on ESPN, four rounds.
Not a bad start.
Man, a whole world watching that.
And as against a guy
from my country, man. You know, man. Never forget it. Four rounds.
And how'd you go?
I knocked him out in four rounds, man. I make $400 for the fight. Never forget.
But $400 would be like $400,000, wouldn't it?
Back then, $400 was reasonable, but not for television. You know, you're supposed to get more than that. But you know, you take what you get when you're coming up. You know.
Yeah.
Had no management and nothing. You just take what you get.
So, what was the fight record? How many fights did you have in America?
I had 16. I go to America. When I go to America, I already had fights in my country.
Pro
fights, yeah.
Yeah.
So I went to America. I was 16-0.
Yeah.
Go to America.
That's a good draw card for a promoter.
Yeah, of course, man. The promoters, them, man. I mean, management was never lucky and never fortunate to get good management. Yeah. I always do it by myself, tough.
Yeah.
You know, something about my life. I always try to get, always end up with people that, you know, just trying to take from me instead of help you and do something, you know what I mean? But I had to do it, you know. In America, I had a couple of fights in America. Not a couple, a lot of fights. So I had 10, 12 fights in America.
Yeah.
You know, all the rest was in Australia.
I'd like to talk about that. So let's just talk about who you fought in America when you were over there. That's the interesting
thing. Who I fought in America. I've been in the ring with the best of the best in America.
Yeah.
Started from the boxing gym.
Yeah.
I used to box a guy named, me and Greg actually grew up together, named Paul Malignaggi.
I've seen him on Paul on social media.
Yeah, Paul Malignaggi, you know. Yeah. We grew up together. Little Puerto Rican guy,
yeah.
Spanish guy talking, yeah. You know what I mean? Always
good talk.
Always thinking that he could beat everyone.
Yeah.
I was a bit older than him. Always go, hey, you want to spar, you want this. Young kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then Juan Guzman. There's an ex-world champion called Juan Guzman in the gym, you know. Yeah. And we always together, training together, you know.
What about Corrales?
Chico Corrales. Well, I was boxing with a Turugatti in West Palm Beach Spring, right?
People don't like, the Turugatti's like a god of boxing.
Oh, man, he was a legend. So I'm home, have no money, nothing happening for me. Get a phone call, say, you want to do sparring with the Turugatti in West Palm Beach Spring? I was living in New York. I said, yeah, jump on a plane, fly to West Palm Beach Spring, give me $600 a week just to spar, you know what I mean?
What was that in today's terms?
Today's term, $600 would be like easy, I would say about $2,000 Australian. Yeah. But back then, the $600 was a lot of money,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And you just box, you might box 3-4 rounds in 1 week, you know?
Yeah.
The most you box, because you have a bunch of different sparring partners. But don't forget, these guys making $5-6 million. $600 is nothing to them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And boxing with the Turugatti, man, was good. I boxed with him. Lou Duva was there. Who was there?
Great promoter.
David Tuo was there.
Yeah.
The fourth time I met David Tuo, a young kid called Vivian Harris was there too. Yeah. Everybody was there. And after the sparring, I went back to New York. Then I get a call saying, you know, got this guy wanna have a fight with you. His name was Diego Corrales.
Wow.
I was for the number one spot in the world, number one the IBF. I was number 12, Corrales was number 7, and the number one spot was vacant.
Mm.
And I take the fight, you know what I mean? Corrales was 21-0.
What was your record?
I was 16-0.
Yeah.
Corrales was 21-0, so both of us were undefeated. The fight was in Sacramento, California. Flew to California, man. Get out there, man, round 1 to 12, hell of a fight, man. Rocked him a couple of times, but, you know, not a big puncher. Corrales win the fight on points.
What do they like to fight, those Mexicans? They're fighting for their lives too.
Oh, man. Corrales is American, but he just, he had a style. Man, at a win, he had such a soft voice. It's like, man, how could someone fighting like this have such a soft voice? Like, you know, what's going on there?
Hmm.
But, man, in the ring, oh, man, that kid is tough. He went there with the best. He could punch.
Robbie Peden fought him too, didn't he?
Robbie Peden fought a guy by the name of Nate Campbell. Knocked him out. Nate Campbell for the title. Nate Campbell was a massive puncher.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I remember that fight.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's your first loss. How did you come to come into Australia?
How did I come to Australia, man? Listen, all these times I'm fighting in America, training, doing everything, I was on illegal. I had no papers in America.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, it soon catch
up
to you.
So you're a legal immigrant.
In America, fighting on television, earning money. You're not supposed to do that, you know what I mean? But young kid, had no education, had no, can't read and write, don't know the contract, don't know nothing. Yeah, I just think it's normal. You know?
Yeah.
And I went back to Guyana. Never forget it, went back to my country for a visit.
Yeah.
In December 1999, never forget it, man. And the immigration man, when I was trying to get back into the American, man, I said, man, you've been living in this country. I said, man, no, man. You man run the company. So, yeah, look, 12 months, 11 months. You only meant to stay 6 months. And that was it.
Stamped you.
Stamped me out, barred me for 5 years.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't believe it. 5 years I was barred from America. Went back to Ghana. Then I get a phone call from the great Koskozoo. Say, you want to come to Australia and do some sparring?
Yeah,
I said, hell yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. Man, I jumped on the plane, flew to America, was going to transit in America. And you wouldn't believe, this is the luck of my story, man. The same guy, but there was a luck, with the chance of that, the same guy that deported me for 5 years, coming back to America now, running to the same guy. The man looked me in the eyes and said, you again? You're not supposed to come to this country. And that man uplifted the ban to 20 years. I'm still barred from America until now.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I'm Australian citizen.
Yeah, yeah.
20 years barred, and I went back, but I had to go back to Guyana. Then they flew me to London, because London, I'd have to get a visa because I'm part of the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Flew to London, flew to back to Australia, and here I am in Australia.
How long, what year was that?
December 99, never forget it.
Yeah, yeah.
Came to Australia December 99, I was deported, came back to Australia in 2000. 2001, came back to live.
How good. So you come over and you start, not a bad start, but you're a sparring partner.
Yeah, man. Because so, man, I could say, I could personally say, that's a man that that I trained with, and the man been very well to me. If it wasn't for him, I would be no Gary Sinclair in Australia.
And it started your association, affiliation with
everything,
the great Johnny Lewis.
Great Johnny Lewis. So I'm boxing in the gym one day with Kotzkazoo. Of course, Johnny Lewis is Kotzkazoo trainer. And I heard this man saying, son, he called me son straight away. He said, son, I reckon you could be world champion. I said, oh, yeah. He said, yeah, I think you could be world champion. Then he said to me, would you like to come back to live in Australia? I said, yes, hell yeah. Man, I went back home and Johnny get some team together. You got to know Johnny Lewis, knows everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Next minute, I'm in Australia and my life changed, man.
How did your life start? I know Costa, how he started. He demands we just wanted a microwave oven.
Oh, no, microwave oven? No, me want not. Now I want to eat and sleep and train.
Yeah, yeah.
I never get
Where did you come and live?
Oh, where I come and live? Evelyn Street. And you know what I'm telling you, man? Evelyn Street, man. When I moved to Evelyn Street, it's Red Farm. But, man, that was paradise to me, man. I was like, man, this is nice.
Yeah.
You know, man, this is nice. Because where I'm
come,
where
compare
I'm
you from, come from?
Of course, man. Evelyn Street was like better roads to me, man. I'm telling you, the God shoot, man. I go there, man. Everyone, all the original guys, hey, what's up, bro? What's up, bro? Talk to me, you know, man. I was smooth shooting, man. Walk shoot anytime, you know, man. It was good.
So, I want people to understand, like, you're talking about Everly Street, there's been riots there. Like, white people just would not walk through there because it was considered, and they were warned by the police, don't go through there because it's a very dangerous, one of the, would have been the most dangerous place in Australia to live at the time. And here you are.
Oh, man.
Loving it.
I've seen a lot of robbery there, but, you know, all white guys, white people get robbed. But, you know, I was good there, man. I love Everly Street, man.
And it's sort of like, it's like a kindergarten compared to where you've just come from.
Of course, man, yeah. Everly Street, man. All the brothers, hey, bro, how you doing, man? You know, it's nice.
So cool. Same, I get the same because, you know, I done boys' homes and that with all those people, all the boys there from there, and they love me, you know what I mean? I guess I would have been one of the only white fellas that could have walked through there in the day, but... But, you know, so we start training. Where was Johnny training out of then?
Johnny was training at Sydney University.
Okay.
He was training at Sydney University, you know. He used to train Kotzkazoo at Rockdale.
PCYC. Costa Gym, yeah.
But Johnny used to train me at Sydney University at a little gym there. He trained at Sydney University. It was me, Justin Russell used to
Top
be there too.
The cowboy.
Yeah, the cowboy was there, you know what I mean? His brother too.
Yeah, older, Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel, yeah. So we all trained together there.
Yeah. Shout out to them boys, Daniel and Justin.
Oh, hell of a boy.
Good guy. I remember Johnny Lewis bringing Kotzkazoo, Justin Russell, and Rube Kennedy out to the jail to do a bit of training, and that was and have a bit of a chat. I remember that. That was about 1995. He brought him out to Long Bay. But this is the beginning of your, like, you know, your Australian. How was it? Were you well received by the Australian people?
Yeah, man. I would say one thing, man. The Australians, man, you know, man, listen. Australia, man, changed my life. For me, I wasn't talking about me, but my personal experience, man. I came to this country, man. I had it wonderful. People treat me like, you know, treat me good, man.
We love our boxes, mate.
I was well loved in Australia. People, you know, people still treat me good, you know. Mm. I can't say nothing bad, but, you know, the treatment I have was wonderful, man.
Yeah, that's good to hear that. It's good to get that feedback, didn't you? And training away, mate, let's start talking about you. Say, okay, you're building up your record. You're training with legendary boxing trainer Johnny Lewis. Can I ask you just one thing? What's so special? Everyone talks about Johnny. What's so special about Johnny Lewis? What's his superpower?
Johnny Lewis' superpower, man, is the communication with the fighters.
Yeah.
The way he talks, the way he puts things over, the way he makes you understand things, you know what I mean? That's the power of Johnny Lewis.
Yeah.
The words, the things that he say to you, and it always get right you. And a man could tell you, Johnny Lewis could tell you, man, this is gold, but you know, deep down inside, you probably know that's not gold, but man, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the quality of that man, man, you know, man.
Everyone talks about this.
Oh, man, it's a legend, man. It's like a dad to me. It's like a dad to me.
Yeah. And he has that. He has that effect on people. He's got that father figure with everyone that. Everyone that comes into contact with Johnny feels, you know, enlightened and blessed to have him. So what was your record, mate? What was your first fight here in Australia?
My first fight was against a guy from the Philippines. My second fight was against a guy in Australia. He was a lightweight champion. I don't remember his name too well, but he was a lightweight champion for a while, and then we fought, but I couldn't fight for tag because that time I was in Australia and since not resident or not. It was just a normal fight. Knocked him out in four rounds. Danny McGrath, never forget
him. Oh, man, Bones McGrath
from
the Gold Coast. I used to train in his gym at Burley.
Yeah. Stopped him in four rounds. I think it's four rounds or five rounds. I stopped him in,
Yeah,
hell of a fighter. Tough fighter.
Where was that fight at?
That fight was... The guy used to promote Tony Caradona.
Tony Garandona.
He was a promoter.
He had a bit of trouble with
So he was a promoter for that fight. I knocked him out in four rounds and everything was there, fight after fight.
Who was your main promoter for that? Bill Morty was Bill?
Bill Morty was gone when I come to BC. Bill Morty wasn't promoted. But the thing in Australia boxing, everyone loved me. Something about boxing fraternity, all the guys always think, oh, Gary Sinclair is, you know, he's a good punch, he's a good boxer. But, you know, they always think they could get over me.
Yeah.
So everyone wanted to fight me because, you know, I couldn't punch anything. But you know what I could do? I could beat you all night and make you miss and make you make you look like the biggest, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they put everyone in front of me in Australia. I had 21 straight wins in Australia.
21 straight wins?
Straight wins in Australia.
Wow.
You know what I mean? 21 straight wins up in Australia.
Johnny would have loved that.
Everyone, man. Yeah. Everyone.
He rang me. You know, Johnny Lewis rang me the other day, and he had Garth, and he says, Russell, you got to get Russell, son, you got to get Gary. He says, you got a most amazing story, son. I think that was a pretty good Johnny Lewis impersonation. Hope you're happy with that, Johnny. But he loves you. He dead set loves you. And we'll give him a call after this. But you know. 21. So tell me, when did the sort of international sort of stuff started coming in?
Well, international stuff started coming in, man. After having the 21 straight wins, man, you know, I.
That's a lot of proving to do, isn't it?
Oh, man, yeah, man.
That must have been frustrating.
I had to do it, you know what I mean? Just had to do. After 21 straight wins, man, things started going a bit sour, you know what I mean? Now the fight business, but just, you know, life and, you know...
Politics, man.
Everything, nobody giving, nobody getting, you know... I should be high in the rankings, but nothing happened. And I decided, man, I'm going to finish with Sydney. Went to Western Australia. Famous man by the name of Craig Christian.
Pinky's Gym?
Harry's Gym.
Harry's Gym,
you know. Went up there, Craig Christian.
John Kizon.
All the boys there, man. John Kizon, the boys. They're boys, good boys, man. We went up there, the boys. And
Tony Trolls, did you have anything to
do
with Tony?
Tony was a secretary around there helping the boys with all the people works and things, you know. He did all the background.
Done really good in boxing.
He's still good, yeah. And I also tracked for a while, man. Was in top shape with Craig. Fought for a couple of WBL. Fought for a WBU international title. Won the WBU international title, featherweight. I also boxed with a guy named Chris John.
Angelo Hyder had him, huh?
Craig Christian used to manage him.
Yeah, yeah.
But Angelo was involved.
Yeah, yeah.
But Craig used to manage Chris John.
Great fighter.
God, man, he came to Australia, man. We had a lot of rounds of boxing spar with him, man. You know what I mean? And the biggest thing with me and Craig Christian, Craig was a hell of a trainer, hell of a person, makes you work hard, you know what I mean? And the biggest thing I had with Craig is when one day Craig, I don't know how he make it happen. He managed to get a talk with Manny Pacquiao. Pacquiao was champion that time, Manny Pacquiao. And they said, no, want me to fight Pacquiao? And they said, yes. But the mistake, they wanted to say, send me some tapes and let's see the person, you know what I mean? And they watched my style and they said no.
They didn't want nothing to do with it.
Nah.
Because that's a spoiler. Someone like yourself.
Of course, man. When I was Craig with Gresham, I was in shape. I was fit. We had Craig always take care of his fighters, make sure he gets sponsors and all that. Yeah. Craig was good to me, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he helped me out. You know. Yeah.
He's I know of Craig. I've spoke to him a couple of times on the phone.
Nah.
But everyone that went through that Harry's gym, you know what I mean, talks about it and really good how well they looked after. It was a good team over there.
He had a wonderful
Angelo team. Was over there with Danny at the time, wasn't he?
Yep, Danny Green, yeah.
Yeah, you know champion bloke. Love Danny. I've had him on the show. We've done a two-part series. You go over to Western Australia, Danny Green, and he doesn't know how to drive a car. Every time you go around a corner, it's got to be sideways. I love Danny Green. He's a champ. So, okay, and what happened from here? So in Western Australia, you're fighting for world title eliminators. Is that right?
No, they fight for world title. They had a couple of fights, fight for regional titles, like WBL titles, fought some top guys. Because Craig is a man, you got to prove yourself. You're not going to put you against no bum.
Yeah.
When he put in the fight, you got to fight real people. That's his mentality, you know what I mean? If you want to be the best, you got to be the best. So Craig always put me in the best.
That's honest.
Yeah. And I
beat
all the best.
A lot these days, does it?
Not. And I beat all the best with Craig, man. All the best, man. All the best.
But here's another thing. What was special about him, like training you?
What was special with Craig when he's training? Because he loved boxing. He's a man that loved boxing. And he had a lot of vision, man. And he had vision that other people couldn't see, you know, man. They used to give him shit about that, but he just seen what other people couldn't see, man.
Yeah.
Craig knew that Gary Sinclair, he knew I'd become world champion, yeah. You know what I mean? And he pushed me in every single way, you know what I mean?
Special connection, though. It's a special connection to have with another human being where they tune in and see your vision.
Yeah, because
they invest in it.
So true. Many people don't see that, man. When you could see what someone have, you know, I mean, it's like, I got to cut you right now quickly. It's like, if you go in any part, 5-6 years ago, I was telling people, I said, this kid, I trained a guy named George Cambrose.
Yeah.
I said, this kid's going to be world champion.
Yeah.
Everybody said, the whole Australia, 4-5 years ago, I was telling everybody in Australia, I said, listen, tune, this kid's going to be world champion. This kid's going to be the best in Australia. And what happened? You become the best in Australia, undisputed champion of the world. So you have, you know, you could just see sometimes in people that that's going to happen. And only certain people could do that. I'm not saying I won, but, you know, I did it once.
Yeah, for sure. And you'll do it again, I have no doubt. That's this is this whole thing. So talk about your world championship. Talk about that.
So, I mean, Western Australia, right? Everything going up. And so now I got a phone call that my mom very sick and you know she you know she in bad shape.
Yeah.
I went back to my country, had a bit of money, go back to my country. Saw my mom the night. She was happy to see me after 5 years. Went to the hotel, get a phone call early morning. Mom just passed away.
She was waiting for you, mate.
Yeah, man, I couldn't believe that, you know. Then after that, three days after, we had the funeral. After the funeral, get a phone call from Australia. Angelo Hyder, Gary Sinclair, got you the world title fight. He said, but two things. The money is no good, but you got to fly back to Australia. I said, forget about the money, man. I just won this title. And I flew back to Australia, man, from Western Australia. Because I live in Western Australia. I flew straight to Sydney. Walk in the gym to Johnny Lewis. I said, Johnny Lewis, I got a world title fight. Could you train me for this fight? Johnny says, come on, son, let's go. And we trained for 3.5 weeks every single day. Flew to Johannesburg, South Africa, man. And everything was history, man.
What was the name of the guy you fought?
A guy was for the world title? Cassius Ballori.
Yeah. That's
Johannesburg, South Africa. He was champion for... He was the IBO champion for a long time, but he beat a Mexican from Mexico, wonderful fighter, knocked him out for the IBF world title, so they become IBF and IBO world champion. Man, I could never forget the world title fight in Johannesburg, South Africa. Gary Sinclair is a boxer, moving, punching, you know, but fighting for the world title, one shot, your whole dream, your whole life, everything that you put in as a fighter, all the struggling, all the no food eating, all nothing happening in Guyana, all the struggle, all the this is it, this is it. One shot for the world title, man. Man, and I jump in the ring, man, and I say, man, I'm not leaving it without a title, man. I put my hands up, man, from round 1 to 12, man. I just punch and punch and punch, and I never stop punching, man. And I'll never forget it, man. The last round of the fight, man. This is with the legend Johnny Lewis coming. This is the things this man to see to make champions. Johnny Lewis said, son, you see that little light in the sky there, man? I don't know. You see some little light you see in the ceiling. He said, son, you see that light? Look at the light. He said, that's your mom looking down on you. Man, and I go there, man, and punch and punch and punch. And then the greatest thing any fighter want to hear after the fight. And the new.
Yeah,
oh,
wow.
Man, IBO, IBO.
How good does that feel?
Man, that was the best feelings of everything, man, you know, man. Become champ of the world, man, and everything changed, you know?
Yeah.
Come back to Australia, your life changed completely, you know, because everybody wants a part of you when you're champ of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was that like, coming back to Australia?
Coming back to Australia, championship of the world, man, was the biggest thing, you know. I was still me, nothing changed with me, but, you know, people, I was getting calls from people that never knew me. People never know nothing about my life. I get invited to places that I never wanted to go.
Yeah.
I get things from people that, you know, people, it's just the support, and people, everybody wants you to go here. You just get invited to so much things, you know what I mean? That's the thing of being champ of the world. But the hardest part after that, man, is when I lost the title back. Come back to Australia, man.
How long after? It was pretty quick, wasn't it?
Pretty quick, man, yeah. You know what I mean? Didn't want to do it, but had to do it. Go back there, you know what I mean? Lost the title.
It was a matter of months, wasn't it?
Yeah, about 5 months after, 6 months after, you know what I mean? It was too quick, you know, but needed the money, needed everything, you know, because I went back there and lost a guy named Malcolm Klassen. But come back to Australia after, you know, champion of the world. First thing you run into, man, you're looking at your phone, is it still working?
Yeah.
Ain't no more calls, nothing's happening.
Is that what happened? So when you lost your world title, the phone stopped ringing?
Well, stop ringing, man. People you think is your friend stop coming around, nobody call you, everybody, man, everything changed. And as a fighter, remember, it's like, you're going from the bottom to all the way to the top, man. I'm at the top of the world of my game. Everything champ of the world, man. And all of a sudden, you and the school and somebody just cut you down and you fall all the way down, man. Man, I was depressed. I was drinking. I was because you couldn't, you know, nothing's happening. I was depressed for many, many months. Nothing's happening, man. You know.
And what happened from there, mate? What happened?
Happened from depression is a hard thing, man.
It's a hard thing, isn't it?
To get over that. You know?
And how are you dealing? Like, I guess, you know, you grew up in the struggle, and I guess once you develop this life. I don't necessarily agree with it, but someone was saying when you're in the struggle, depression is a luxury.
When you're in the struggle.
When you're in the struggle.
Yes. Yeah. No. I could see that what you just said, that's true. It is a luxury. Yeah. When you're in the struggle, you have no time to cannot be depressed.
So you get over here. This is where I'm sort of getting to the point was that you come into depression and, man, this is all new to you.
All new to me, of course, because you come in from nothing and you achieve something and everything is nice and, you know, you get accustomed to the nice life and everything and then all of a sudden, boom.
It's taken off you.
It's gone. It's depression straight away.
For sure. I get that, man. And how did you deal with that? Like, what was your mindset?
I had to dig back into my old struggles. I had to remember all the things that I've been doing, all the things that get me to where I was and, you know, and to get back myself to that level, you know what I mean? I had to work hard, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. So what was that? When did you get back into the gym? Did you get straight back in?
No, it took me months to get back in the gym, you know, get back a couple of months after.
Because you know the process is have a couple of months off. You know, how do you like, man, it must be hard to muster that energy up because you know what you've been through before.
It's just one of those things that you got to do if you want to become something back again.
Yeah.
And you want to get back in that position, you know. It's two things you could do. You could actually just say, man, I've been there and done it and just forget about it and relax. But, you know, Gary Sinclair, don't give up for nothing, man. I'm back into it, back doing what I'm doing, and I get back into it and crunchle up some money. And
because there's this thought, you know, what you got to – do you struggle over cutting weight and stuff like that?
Yes, all the time.
Pete, that's a form of torture, huh?
Oh, man.
Can you just explain the process to the listeners of cutting weight?
The process of cutting weight for Gary Sinclair, because everybody cut weight different. For me
– what he means by cutting weight, it means you got a certain weight class, you've got to be at that weight, you can't be a fucking gram over, otherwise you can't fight.
You can't fight. So I used to fight at 58.9 kilos. That's 58.9
that's
kilos.
That's jockey weight, yeah.
It's jockey weight, you know what I mean? And that's 130 pounds, 58.9 kilos. And I used to walk around sometimes like 60, 65 kilos. So you got to get down to 58.9 kilos, you know what I mean? So you train, you know, you eat next to nothing. Some days you got to miss a couple of meals, you know. But that's a sacrifice you put in order to get it.
Sauna.
You know? A lot of sauna.
Yeah.
Sauna a couple of days before the fight, you know what I mean?
I was watching the Conor McGregor the other day, and they'd carry him out. He'd have two people carry him. He couldn't move. He was that burnt. He couldn't carry him out the sauna.
Yeah, that's how it, man. You know.
Greeny talks about Danny Green really articulated well about the torture of cutting weight, and he just sometimes, that was the biggest doubt he had, if he could make it, you know? So... when was the comeback? Like, what after this, what was the next big major?
After that, not major really come around. I had a couple of other fights. Australia come back, get a couple of Filipino, build a record over, get a couple of wins, you know. Then I get a next shot back in South Africa for the number one spot.
Yeah.
Against the same guy that I beat for the world title.
Yeah.
Cassius Bellori. And went over there to fight him for the number one spot. So then if I beat him, I get to fight for the world title again. Mm. Unfortunately, I lost against him. Come back to Australia, depressed again, you know, because you end up mind, you know, with all... It's hard to get over depression.
Oh, man, I know. I've got a predisposition for it.
Yeah, and still depressed there. Come back to Australia, still drinking, still getting the same thing. Get one more fight in South Africa. Get a fight for I think it was the number two or number three spots. Lost, come back to Australia, still depressed, running around Sutherland, just doing nothing, getting into troubles with the coppers, always getting a drink, I don't know what
the drink become a problem for you, man?
Yeah, drink become a problem for me. I drink. And a wonderful friend, I got a good friend of mine, a school teacher friend, name is Rodney Loving Force. He called me up and this is the exact word he said to me. He said, Gary, if you don't stop drinking, man, we can't be friends no more.
Mm.
And it means a lot to me.
Mm.
And
was he in recovery? Was he in sobriety or something like that? Or was the he was a non-drinker?
My friend was a non-drinker. He just said, man, I don't want to be associated. You know, if you get in trouble, it's because, you know, I'm getting in trouble and thinking, then just decide, man, stop. I just stop completely.
Yeah.
And everyone say, how you stop? I just stop. Not enough.
Turn it off.
That's it. And that's one thing. I turn it off anytime.
Yeah.
I just stop. And everything been going good for me until now.
Life's good without it. Same. I had a serious drug problem. You know, I stopped. Great life.
Oh, man.
So where are we at now, Gary? Like, man, you got your gym. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about family. You got a family.
Yeah, man.
How many kids you got?
I got 8 kids, man.
8 kids? Eight fucking kids. No TV.
8 kids. I got 3 kids in Australia. I got 8 kids. 5 grandkids.
Yeah.
I got 8 kids and 5 grandkids.
You look too young to be a grandfather, man. That's a beautiful genes. You look 25.
I'm 48, man. So, man, after that, you know, I'm hooked up with my 3 kids' mom. And her name is Alicia, and you know, she's like, you know, let's open a gym. I used to work, first I used to work with corporate Josh King in the city.
Yeah, yeah.
Josh King, I work with
Shaggy.
Josh King.
Is that Shaggy? Is that
no, Josh King. His name is Josh King.
Okay.
He runs Corporate Fighter.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So he's
I'll
a big...
I'll fight at Bondi.
Yeah, all over, yeah. Sure. Corporate Fighter's big, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? And Josh King, I used to work with Josh King. Well, me, Johnny Lewis, all of us used to be there. And we worked there. I worked there for many years. And, you know, things ain't going well. And my partner said, let's open a gym. But open a gym, you got to get money.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So we save up, borrow. And he opened the Gary Singley Boxing Fitness Gym.
Yeah. And where is that at? Where is that?
In Guymyre, 60 Guymyre Road, Guymyre, man.
Get out
it's
there,
a wonderful gym.
It.
Oh, man, it's a wonderful gym.
I love got, it. I'll check out your lives on Insta and that.
And, you know, and it's the only gym in Australia. You're going to go in the gym. I ain't got a 2-time boxing world champion taking the class, plus a Hall of Famer too, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's the best thing ever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people come to see Gary Sinclair, you know, and train and I'm teaching you boxing. It's the best way to learn boxing from someone like me.
But you're going to teach him about mindset too, mate.
Oh, man.
How do you feel when you hear some of these people talk about their problems and their struggle, like in comparison to yours?
Listeners, like, man, you know what I mean? No,
what's going on? You want to be honest with him and go, fucking wake up.
That's what I said, stop. Just stop what you're doing, man. Just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. If I could do it, I think anywhere else could. But then again, it's something hard to do. But I could just stop, man.
Yeah.
I could just stop.
Yeah.
I look at stuff and I could just stop, man. If I don't want to do this, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to influence me, do nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Listen to me. I've been around drugs all my life. All my life. I was born in Guyana.
In Guyana, there'd be a big coke. There'd be a lot of coke.
No, it's a lot of coke. Don't get me wrong. It's a lot of coke. But
I'm
thinking my country, people don't really use coke.
Yeah.
People use marijuana.
Yeah, yeah.
When people see cocaine, they think it's money. They can send to different countries. That's where they make the money. Coke is money.
Yeah.
Coke is not for use. You come from the ghetto, you know what I mean? Yeah, so everyone's shooting. But I've been around drugs all my life. Never interest me.
Never?
Lived in New York City. Everybody's hustling. Hustle. Never interest me. Of course, you got to hustle. You got to make money. But, you know.
Something romantic about New York City. When you talk like when you said, I lived in New York City. I think there's fucking something romantic about it.
New York City. Brooklyn, man. Yeah. Oh, man. Listen, man. I'm telling you the truth, man. Brooklyn was, living in New York City, man, was... It's like going to college.
Mm.
I never been to college, but among the stuff you learn there, man.
Yeah.
Learn about so much stuff and seen so much stuff, man. You know what I mean? I say good friend of mine, young kid. Had a little argument with a young kid. Kid come back the next day and just shoot him 2 times, man. Mm. Head, man. Fuck it.
Yeah, play for keeps there, right?
Yeah.
No keyboard warriors
the,
there.
The hardest thing you see, man, is seeing your friend on the ground, man, laying there. And nothing you could do, you know what I mean? So when you talk about life, man,
New
York City, man, Australia is a paradise. It's a paradise. I'm going to say that again. It's a paradise compared to New York, any part of America.
For sure. Mate, so where you at now, guys? There's just talks of fights again, isn't there?
Yeah, talks of fights again, man. I'm 48 years of age, man. I'm making a comeback. I'm fighting for the WBL world title. You know what I mean? Against a guy named Michael Hall, man. I'm coming for you, man. You know what I mean? 100%, you know what I mean?
How you feeling, fitness-wise?
I'm feeling 48 years of age, man. Everything hurts, but you know what I mean? Everything hurts, but I'm training, I'm pushing. Nothing's gonna stop me from achieving what I want to achieve in life. And this is one of the things, you know what I mean? Don't sit back and say you're too old. No, man, if I could do it, anybody could do it. Get out there and do something. Ain't got to be boxing, man. Just get out and go in the gym and do something. Enjoy your life, man. 48 years of age, man.
Yeah.
Still young, man.
Still looking. You look
so what I'm doing, man... George Foreman won the world title at 45 or 44.
Yeah.
I think Bernard Hopkins was like 46 or something.
46 against Tito.
Yeah, but I'm going to be the oldest man to win a world title.
Yeah.
48 years of age. I'm going to be the WBL world title world champion because Michael Hall, man, you ain't got nothing to Gary Sinclair, bro. I'm coming for you, man.
Hey, love it. Mate, how can people get hold of you? Like, I want my people to give you a follow on Instagram, Gary Sinclair.
Man, Instagram, Gary Sinclair, Boxing Fitness Gym. Just go Gary Sinclair.
Message him. Tell him how much you love him.
I mean, come in there, man. I mean, don't forget, Gary Sinclair, Super Fight Night, 28th of July at the Conquador in Riverwood, man. I'll be fighting for the WBL world title, man.
Get there and support him.
support the old man, man.
The old man, it looks like a 25-year-old, my dad.
Because hey. I train hard, I live a good life, man. I don't gout, I don't drink, I don't smoke, you know?
Yeah. And you achieve. And that's the message that these young people have got to get. It's like, man, whatever you've faced, you can overcome it by just not doing it.
Yeah, man. You know what I mean?
There's a good message in that. Just don't do it.
Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Just
instead
don't
of Nike do it, says do it, you say just don't do
just
it.
Just don't do it. Just shake your head. Don't do it. Mm. I don't listen. I don't listen to kids. I listen to people in general.
Mm.
How could someone influence you to do something that you don't want to do?
Yeah,
it's impossible.
Same.
Ain't nobody going to influence me for doing nothing that I want to do. If I do something.
Your whole life, you've been around some bad influences your whole life. You've had to be your own man.
Of course, man. I live my life on my friends, big drug dealers in my country and everything. Man, I've been there. Never interests me.
Mm, that's good.
Man? Never interests me, man.
Gary Sinclair, thanks for being on the Stick Up Champion. It's been a pleasure having
you. Thank you for helping me out, man. I appreciate it, man, guys. You know what I mean? And guys, before I go, man, come down and check out Gary Sinclair, man. Check out Gary Sinclair Boxing Fitness Gym.
Please get behind him.
Yes, man. Our Gary Sinclair Super Fight Night, man. 28th of July, man. At Conquidor and Riverwood, man. I'm fighting for the WBL world title.
Not a problem. Let's get behind Gary Sinclair. Champion bloke. Johnny Lewis, mate, he wraps you up like a Christmas present. But, you know, I love the boxing game and I've followed your career. And man, you were just one of those blokes. What you got watching a Gary Sinclair was entertainment and excitement.
Yes,
thanks for being on the podcast, brother.
Thank you very much. Anytime, my brother.